We fade in on a large courtyard. Sun-blasted tangerine tiles suggest age and evoke a monastic dignity. Simple. Elegant. Dressed only in craftsmanship and the ability to endure whatever the decades, perhaps centuries, have thrown at it. In the distance rises a large, stately manor home with a slanted tile roof, wisteria growing on scaffolding and around windows. But we remain in the courtyard. Scattered in symmetrical placement are fountains, each adorned with the faces of animals, both ordinary and fantastic. All spray a steady stream of pure, clean water. There are fruit trees growing as well, lining the edges of the courtyard. A blend of citrus that colors the scene and whose smell fills the air. Men and women sit on the fountain edges, chatting casually, dressed in flamboyantly colored robes and shirts, much of which would challenge more modest sensibilities. Others, dressed in simple white robes, pick fruit from the trees, sweep the leaves from the stone tiles, deliver drinks and trays of food for the more brightly dressed in attendance, servants and slaves to the great house Preta. We focus on one of the individuals, picking fruit from a lemon tree, a boy, no more than 13 years old, perhaps less.
And you see, like, a, you know, young, maybe like a little tall for his age, is a little taller than you'd expect considering kind of how young he looks, but he also already looks like his eyes kind of look older than they should. And you can see like various kind of scars and stuff on his body. And he's got like dark brown hair with kind of like gray and silver streaks in it. And then he has some uniquely like kind of yellow lizard-like eyes.
In the center of the large court, several young individuals face off against each other, practicing their swordplay as an older gentleman walks the spaces between them, occasionally giving advice, correcting form. He has long, dark hair, rivulets of gray twisting through it. Ornately braided and decorated with gemstones, rings of gold, and pearls. Around his neck is a braided necklace with two fangs hanging from knots, each the size of a man's forearm. Suddenly the sound of a horn cuts through the noise of the garden, and everyone within immediately stops what they are doing and stands at attention. A great gate at the far end swings open, and in walk five individuals. Each of them wears a fiery red robe, trimmed in blue and white. Each carries a sword at their hip. Centered is a man with an eagle-sharp face and wide, friendly eyes. His copper-red hair is piled high in an intricate series of braids and knots, and ordained similarly to the older man's. The four men flanking him, two on either side, have fully covered their heads and wear porcelain masks with distinct expressions. One appears to cry, another to laugh, the third a wide-mouthed smile, the fourth a scowl. The gray-haired man steps forward to greet him.
Surveyor de la Venda,
he says, clipping his words.
Master Lamina Preta,
the eagled-faced man says, dipping his chin in subtle deference. The air seems to come back into the crowd all at once as those who are gathered relax and go back to their chores and practices. The two men walk, speak under their breath. Luis picks an orange from a tree, smelling its navel. His eyes catch Taldir's, and his demeanor shifts. The easy peace is gone from him, and he takes on the look of a wolf on the hunt.
I think Taldir kind of has noticed this, and I think he's probably been like abused enough at this point in his life that he knows that this is not a good thing to be the object of any of these people's attention. And so seeing this man kind of come towards him, I think internally he's feeling like kind of dread, or like just hoping that, like, I don't know, maybe they're going to walk past him or something like that. But he doesn't allow it to, like, control him.
It is him, no? He asks, a sharp edge to his words. He begins walking toward the young man.
It is him,
Lamina Prita nearly sighs the words.
He has served well, brought much admiration to my house.
Valle de la Venda ignores the old man, a slight, but not one which Prita is willing to call him to the floor for, and wanders towards Taldir. He takes Taldir's chin into his hand, lifting it upward, drawing Taldir's strange, otherworldly eyes directly into his own gaze.
That's the one.
Valle de la Venda chuckles softly, but stops. Taldir's eyes shift quickly and suddenly lock with the stranger's, and Valle de la Venda feels something unexpected. Anger.
Well, I do enjoy a challenge.
Roll Bravely is a fan production featuring the Pathfinder 2nd Edition role-playing system and is created for entertainment purposes only. All characters, adventures, and interpretations of game mechanics are our own creation and do not represent official Pathfinder content. Pathfinder and all related trademarks are owned by Paizo Inc. We are not affiliated with nor endorsed by Paizo Inc. Game content may include fantasy violence, mature themes, and improvised gameplay that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Thank you for listening, and please join us next time as we roll bravely on.